Thank you, Ganesh, and dear listeners. Welcome once again to Thursday Live Broadcast. Till now you are listening to Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And now, as Ganesh mentioned, it's time for Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And before we start learning one more bhajan today in this classroom, I just want to share with you some scenes that I witnessed a couple of days ago when I was in Odisha. I had been there to document Bhagwan's housing project, and I had the chance to speak to one of the beneficiaries of Bhagwan's housing project, and she was living in this very, very remote area in the Kendrapara district of Odisha, and it is a place which was marooned by the floods in 2011 and even before that. In fact, that is a place that has been continuously marooned every time there was floods in Odisha. And as I was speaking to her and asked her if she knew Bhagwan, and she said she started going for bhajans a couple of years ago, and today she said bhajans have become such an integral part of her life. She has 5 or 6 kids and dozens of relatives to take care, and she says all this burden of the house is always lessened, and bhajans make her feel so light that it has become a practice with her to continuously sing bhajans all the time. And it's the same story that I found not only from her but from so many people out there suffering. I never knew that bhajans have so much of therapeutic value. Another Sai youth, Rashmi Ranjan Rai, I met him. He's dedicated his life entirely to Bhagwan's mission, though he's very young. He has a child about 5 or 6 years of age, but he doesn't do any regular job. His wife earns a bit and they manage with that, and they have decided to dedicate their life entirely to Bhagwan's mission. And he says the only thing that gives him energy all the time, because he works for Bhagwan's mission from morning 6 to night 10, and I have seen him that the only thing that gives him energy, he said, is bhajans. Continuously bhajans go on in his subconscious mind, and when nobody's around he sings it loudly. That is the power of bhajan singing. I never knew. This is such a pillar of strength, such a source of strength for all these people who are engaged in Swami's work, who are battling with different issues in their life. Just imagine if we can sing these bhajans properly, if we can sing these bhajans with devotion, what it can do to us and to all our surroundings. I saw how these rural Balvikas children in all these areas take to bhajans so happily and so gleefully, and every day, every single day in their villages they do bhajans, and it has brought so much unity. I can go on, but suffice to say that we never know the power of bhajans. We just have to do it and do it properly. And with time, we'll know how it has strengthened us, how it has bolstered our personality in ways we can never ever imagine. So with this thing going at the back of our minds, let's move on and let's learn one more bhajan. And before we begin this session proper, let us pause and ruminate on Bhagwan with deepest sense of gratitude.
Let us first offer our most prayerful and reverential salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Lord. Dear Lord, please bless us so that your presence pervades our being in every moment of our lives, so that we always feel you in everything we do. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome dear listeners to this yet another episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we will be learning today is dedicated to Lord Ganesha. The first line goes like this.
Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka.
So that's the bhajan, and let's begin with getting familiar with the lyrics, and then we'll move on as always with the tune, the raga, the meaning, and in the end we will have a short conversation with a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group Mr. Pratim Banerjee, a former student of Babas University, a talented singer who had the chance to offer his various talents to the Lord for 9 long years till 2012. So we will listen to him towards the end of this program. Let's begin now with the lyrics.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp pancham. Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka Shuklambaradhara Nath Gajanana Shri Gananatha Vinayaka Gajavadana Jaya Ganapati Vandana Mangala Murti Gajanana.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Brother Anirudh will follow him after every line. And when he does that, dear listeners, you too, please join him.
Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka 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 Shuklambaradhara Nath Gajanana Shuklambaradhara Nath Gajanana Shri Gananatha Vinayaka Shri Gananatha Vinayaka Gajavadana Jaya Ganapati Vandana Gajavadana Jaya Ganapati Vandana Mangalamurti Gajanana Mangalamurti Gajanana Mangalamurti Gajanana Mangalamurti Gajanana Mangalamurti Gajanana Mangalamurti Gajanana Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka
So that is the tune of this Ganesha Bhajan. You heard it in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Arvind Sai. And now let's learn a little more about the composition of this bhajan. And Anirudh is here in the studios to help us with this. Welcome Anirudh to this program.
Thank you, Vishu.
So tell us, in which raga is this bhajan based?
This bhajan is based on a Hindustani raga, Puriya Dhanashri.
Puriya Dhanashri, yes.
It is also called in Carnatic music as Panthuvarali.
Panthuvarali,
yeah. Yes. It is a Sampurna raga where you have all the seven notes. Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Dha Ni Sa Sa Ni Dha Pa Ma Ga Re Sa. In this raga you have Sa Re Komal Re.
Yes.
Ga Shuddh Major Ga. Ma. Ma is Tivra Ma.
Yes.
Pa Dha. Dha is also Komal. Ni. Ni Shuddh. Sa. Sa Re Dha Pa Ma Ga Re Sa.
You have two Komal notes and a Tivra note.
Yeah.
So I think there's plenty of things that you can do with this raga.
Yeah. It has a lot of Gambhirya in it, and it's a very meditative raga also.
Yes. Yeah, given that you have Re Komal and Na Komal. Yeah. Yes. Anirudh, please, why don't you demonstrate to us how this raga flows?
Yeah.
Definitely puts you into a contemplative mode, and I think very easy to convey pathos in this raga, yeah. Right? You have the Komal notes. So let's come back to this bhajan, Anirudh. Can you take every line of this bhajan and can we do the swaras for
definitely.
Its every line?
Yeah.
And as you do the swaras, can I, along with Arvind Sai, also follow the swaras? I thought that will really help in listeners in getting a better grasp of the notations of this bhajan.
Definitely.
So we'll try and do that. As you sing the swaras, we'll follow you after every line.
Sure, sure. Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka Pagagamarega Gare Re Sa
Pa Ga Ga Ma Re Ga Ga Re Re Sa
Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka Ga Ma Dha Ma Ga 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 Ma Ga Re Sa
Ga Ma Dha Ma Ga 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 Ma Ga Re Sa
Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka Pa Ga Ga Ma Re Ga Ga Re Re Sa
Pa Ga Ga Ma Re Ga Ga Re Re
शुक्लाम्बरधर नाथ गजानन प प प प प प म प म ग म रे ग
प प प प प प म प म ग म रे ग
श्री गणनाथ विनायका ग रे ग ग ग म ग रे स ज रे ग रे ग
ग ग रे ग ग ग म ग रे स स रे ग रे ग
श्री गणनाथ विनायका गणे रे ग ग ग म ग रे स
गणे रे ग ग ग म ग रे स
गजवदना जय गणपति वंदना स स स नि 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 म ध नि नि नि
स स स नि स स नि 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 म ध नि नि नि
मंगलमूर्ति गजानना नि नि ध नि नि ध ध रे नि ध प
नि नि ध नि नि ध ध रे नि ध प
मंगलमूर्ति गजानना ग म ध म ग ग ग म ग रे स स रे ग रे ग
ग म ध म ग ग ग म ग रे स स रे ग रे ग
मंगलमूर्ति गजानना ग ध म ग ग ध म ग रे स
ग म ध म ग ग ध म ग रे स
Wonderful. I think that gives a very good idea of the notations of this bhajan. And anyway, perhaps there are many bhajans in this raga, right?
Yeah, there are many compositions in this raga. We have a very popular bhajan.
Hey Vishwanath, hey Gaurinath, hey Sainath, Bhagavan.
Beautiful composition in this raga Puri Dhanashri.
Yes.
I think we also have
Sai Sai Smaran Karo Sai Sundara Sundara.
I think these are some of the bhajans by which you can remember this raga.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And the beat of the bhajan is the usual 8 beat, right?
8 beat.
8 beat. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai, for joining us to explain the technicalities of this bhajan.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So we are now familiar with the raga and the tala of this bhajan. And it's time to get into another very important aspect, the bhava, or the feeling with which we must render this bhajan to the Lord. So let's begin with understanding the meaning of every word of this bhajan. We begin with the first line.
Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka.
Here the first word is Gauri, which is another name of Mother Parvati, the consort of Lord Shiva. Literally, Gauri means the one who is shining or brilliant, one who is pure with a fair complexion. The second word is Ganesha, derived from Gana and Isha, where Gana refers to a class of divine entities who constitute the army of Lord Ganesha, and Isha means master or lord. Thus Ganesha is the one who rules over the Ganas. The third word is Vinayaka, coming from V meaning no and Nayaka meaning lord or master. Thus Vinayaka means the one who has no lord above him. So in this line, Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka, we bow before the darling son of Mother Gauri or Parvati, the lord of all celestial entities, the one who has no master above him. Let's move on to the second line.
Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka.
We are familiar with the words of this line, but let's dwell a little more on the inner significance. Bhagwan has explained that Mother Gauri or Parvati represents Mother Earth, and thus each one of us is a child of Mother Parvati, of Mother Earth, and in that sense she is the universal mother, the divine mother of all beings who constantly sacrifices for the welfare of her children, just like Mother Earth who gives, gives and gives. And the word Ganas, Baba says, can be split into Ga, which actually stands for intellect, and Na means Vijnana or higher knowledge. So Ganesha means the lord of the intellect and higher knowledge. Baba also explains that the Jnanendriyas and Karmendriyas, that is the five organs of perception and five organs of action which constitute our eyes, our ears, our mouth and so on, in addition to the mind and the intellect, all of these together constitute the Ganas. So truly Ganesha is the master of our senses and intellect. This is the real meaning of the word Ganesha. And moving on, we have learned the meaning of the word Vinayaka. During a Ganesh Chaturthi discourse in 2002, Bhagwan explained that Vinayaka symbolizes the qualities of a true leader in all its aspects. Viyate Nayake Iti Vinayaka, Swami said, which means he is a master unto himself. Bhagwan further explained in a discourse in 1997 that the Atma or the soul is the entity which has no master, which is complete and which is potent, and thus Vinayaka represents that principle. Vinayaka exists within every being in the form of the Atma or the Spirit. So in this line, Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka, we hail the Lord who is the beloved son of Mother Gauri, the Lord of our intellect, of our organs of perception and action, the one who is present within each one of us as the eternal soul. Let's move on to the third line.
Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka.
This is a repeat of the first line, wherein we pay our obeisance to this fascinating son of Mother Parvati, dear Lord Ganesha. We move on to the fourth line.
Shuklambaradhara Nath Gajanana.
The first word here is Shuklambaradhara. Shukla means white, Ambara means dress or vesture, and Dhara means to wear. Shuklambaradhara thus means the one who is clad in white. Baba says the white garment that the Lord Ganesha wears symbolizes purity, and Natha means Lord. The third word, Gajanana, comes from Gaja, meaning elephant, and Anana, meaning face. During a discourse on 7th October 1997, Bhagwan narrated how Lord Ganesha happened to get the face of an elephant. There was an asura, a demon, named Gajasura, who performed penance to obtain the blessings of Lord Shiva. Soon, the Lord appeared before him and offered Gajasura a boon. The demon expressed his desire that fire should emanate continuously from him so that no one can approach him. So Lord Shiva granted him that boon, but Gajasura continued to do more penance. And then when Lord Shiva reappeared before him, he asked for a boon, and that was, "O Lord, I want you to dwell in my stomach." And Lord Shiva, the ever compassionate one, granted this boon too, and promptly lodged himself in the stomach of this demon. And now, Lord Shiva's consort, Mother Parvati, started looking for him everywhere, and she could not find him. And as a last resort, she went to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, the all-knowing one, asked the mother not to worry and assured her that he would find out what had happened. And so Lord Vishnu converted Shiva's bull Nandi into a dancing bull and led it before Gajasura. And he himself assumed the role of a piper, playing music on the pipe while the bull did the dancing. And Gajasura, overjoyed to see the dancing performance of this bull, was so happy with the piper that he said to the piper, "Ask me what you want and I shall give you." And then the piper asked, "Are you sure? Will you really give me what I ask you?" And the demon said, "Yes, definitely." And then Lord Vishnu, in the form of the piper, said, "If that is so, release from your stomach Lord Shiva, who is dwelling there." The moment Gajasura heard this, he immediately knew that the piper was Lord Vishnu himself, because no one else could know that secret. He immediately fell at the feet of the Lord and released Lord Shiva from his stomach. But he also prayed for a boon. He said, "O Lord, I have been blessed with many boons from you, but my last request is that all should cherish my memory by worshipping my head after I pass away." Lord Shiva granted him this request, and thus he brought his son Ganesha and placed the head of Gajasura on him. And that is one story of how Lord Ganesha got the head of an elephant. There are more, but the inner significance of this elephant head is what is more important. And Baba explains, the elephant is proverbially the most intelligent among the mammals, and it is vegetarian, indicating its sattvic or balanced pure nature. Ganapati has the head of the elephant, for it indicates the intelligence through which obstacles in the path of achievement, be it secular or spiritual achievement, can be overcome, Baba explained. And he has also said that the elephantine head denotes intelligence and qualities of leadership. The elephant in the jungle symbolizes might and magnitude because it creates its own path and also shows others the way. It is not only very intelligent, but is also known for its loyalty and gratitude. And Baba always says that intelligence without gratitude is of no use. And this is another vital lesson we learn from the elephant-faced Lord Ganesha. So in this line, Shukram Varadhara Nath Gajanana, we bow before the Lord who is clad in white, is the embodiment of purity, and who has the charming elephant face. We pray to him to bless us with intelligence, with wisdom, with loyalty, as well as with gratitude in our hearts. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Shri Gananatha Vinayaka.
The first word here is Shri, which is a word that denotes respect while addressing a person. Gananatha can be split into Gana and Natha. We have seen the meaning of Gana, and Natha means the Lord. And the third word is Vinayaka, which we are already familiar with. So in this line, we place ourselves at the feet of the Lord of the celestial entities, the one who has no master above him. Let's move on to the sixth line.
गजवदना जय गणपति वंदना।
गजवदना comes from gaja meaning elephant and vadana means face. The second word is jaya meaning victory, and ganapati, the third word, is a combination of gana and pati. We already know the meaning of gana. Pati again means master, and the last word vandana means respect. So in this line, gajavadana jaya ganapati vandana, we proclaim victory to the benign elephant faced lord, the one who rules over our sense organs. We offer our respectful salutations to him. Let's now move on to the last line of this bhajan, which is sung in two variations of tune.
Mangalamurti Gajanana, Mangalamurti Gajanana.
Mangala, the first word, means auspicious. The second word, Murti, means embodiment or form. Since Lord Ganesha is the ever auspicious Lord, he is called Mangala Murti. Bhagwan once explained that Lord Ganesha is not only the Lord of various activities but is the presiding deity of all auspicious functions. Bhagwan said that Lord Ganesha can make even inauspicious occasions auspicious, and he is always engaged in conferring such boons. The third word is Gajanana, coming from again Gaja, which we have already discussed, and Anana means face. So Gajanana again means the elephant-faced Lord. There is a striking and moving incident relating to Lord Sai Ganesha. This happened in 2009 with a young lady, Gayatri. Gayatri was physically challenged as her right leg was attacked by polio when she was 3 years old. Though polio had completely crippled her right leg when she was a tiny tot, she forced her to lead a dependent life. She never flinched. Nor did she pray to the Lord to give back her leg. Bearing her entire body weight on her heavy left leg and supporting herself on a stick, she doggedly fought on. She was always resilient. Her first contact with Bhagwan Baba was in the early 90s through Sai Bhajans, which her entire family attended in her neighborhood, and she soon realized that Baba was none other than God in flesh and blood, and her only desire now was to go to Prashantanilayam and serve as a Sevadal volunteer in Baba's divine physical presence. Now this was a very difficult wish for her parents to fulfill. Her father was a small-time contractor, not earning much, and a chunk of the family income came from a two-room women's hostel that her mother ran in a part of her house. And Gayatri was the third of four daughters. From the start, she knew that a sound grounding in academics was the only way for her to secure a future. And so, she strove hard and finally graduated with a Bachelor's of Arts degree with an astounding 80% marks. And when she expressed her wish to go for Seva to Puttaparthi, her parents put together some money and sent her along with the other volunteers from Mahbub Nagar district of Andhra Pradesh in December 2006. But the day she reached Prashantanilayam, her only dream seemed to crumble, because considering the difficulty she faced while walking, the officials of the Sai organization wondered how she could do any duty in the ashram, because most of the jobs required the Sevadal volunteer to be on her feet most of the time. So it was feared that Gayatri would find it extremely difficult to cope with the duties. And when Gayatri learned of this, she felt very sad. She felt that she will lose this opportunity of performing seva in Bhagwan's physical presence, and so she cried the whole day. Later, when she went to the shrine of Lord Ganesha, which is facing the main entrance of the Prashantanilayam ashram, she prayed to Bhagwan to make her stand on her 2 feet just so that she could have the privilege of serving in his holy abode. And that night, in her sleep, she had a lovely dream where Bhagwan in his ochre robe stood right in front of her. He put his hand on Gayatri's head and said, "Do not worry, I will take care of everything." And then, Swami gave her a red rose. In the morning, Gayatri woke up jubilant. She was full of anticipation. She felt that that auspicious dream augured a very special event ahead for her. It was still very early in the day and now she went to the Ganesha shrine and the priest offered the aarti to Lord Ganesha, and as she was lost in absorbing the tranquility of the serene morning, she noticed that the aarti was over and now the priest from the distance was alighting the steps of the temple and distributing flowers which were offered to Lord Ganesha to the assembled devotees. And suddenly the priest turned and walked up straight to Gayatri and picking up a red rose from the bunch of flowers, the priest handed the flower to her very lovingly. One look at that rose and Gayatri's eyes just opened wide. She was so pleasantly shocked because it was exactly the rose which Swami had given her in the dream. The resemblance was unmistakable. "I could not believe it. All this was so true," she said later. Not only this, that night Bhagwan again came in Gayatri's dream and once again gave her the reassurance and gave her another red rose. And yet again after the aarti the next day, the priest handed over the exact red rose she had seen in the previous night's dream. It was as if Bhagwan was telling her that everything that you are experiencing now is not a coincidence. And the events that unfolded from that day onwards changed Gayatri's life forever. Her visit to the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital in Puttaparthi along with her uncle gave her hope because they found out that with a couple of surgeries in the super speciality hospital, she would be actually able to stand on her 2 feet and maybe even walk. So Gayatri went regularly for those surgeries and she was indeed with time able to walk. You can actually read about this entire story from our website radiosai.org. The title of the story is A Pure Desire and a Profound Blessing. We had published this in February 2009. When we interviewed her, Gayatri said, "I had never prayed to Swami to grant me the use of my leg. All that I wanted is to be able to serve in Prashanthi Nilayam. And look at me now, I am able to walk and the first thing that I want to do is to come here and serve. Swami has given me this gift of new life and I will do whatever it takes to show my gratitude to Bhagwan. I will perform seva, everything else can wait." So that was a testimony of the divine grace that flows into our lives when our hearts and our motivations are set on the path of virtuous conduct. And the Lord, the Mangala Murti, is ever eager to confer on us those blessings. So in this line we hail the beautiful elephant-faced Lord who is the very embodiment of auspiciousness and grace and goodness. We pray to Him to fill our lives with goodness and prosperity. With this, dear listeners, we are done with understanding to some extent the inner meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now with this awareness, let us pictureize the graceful elephant face of our Lord in our mind's eye and sing this bhajan once again. You will now listen to the Prashanthi Mandir version of this bhajan. Please do follow after every line.
Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka, Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka, Gauri Ganesha Shukla Gaya 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 Gaya
And now let's listen to a conversation with a former student who sang in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan for 7 years, Mr. Pratim Banerjee. He joined for 11th class in Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School and completed his bachelor's and master's in sciences and later also his second master's in management in 2012. He shares his indelible lessons living in the Lord's proximity.
And I've heard it from a lot of people. I think what differentiates bhajan singing in Parthi, Puttaparthi, Prashantilayam, vis-a-vis like other places, is that, you know, feeling of offering to Bhagwan.
Yes.
That is what kind of, you know, because every turning or every curve that we give in a bhajan, it can be replicated. It can be done 1,000 times more beautifully by anybody else.
Yes.
But the feeling with which most of us sing is what kind of distinguishes.
Distinguishes. Absolutely. In fact, it is so true in the sense that, you know, there are so many bhajans which are also sung in some albums by playback singers.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, they have beautified the bhajan amazingly, you know, they have amazing voices and their knowledge of music is definitely way beyond any of the normal bhajan singers. But somehow still those bhajans don't connect to you.
Don't connect.
You don't connect so much with those bhajans. An artist, a singer who is like, you know, 10 times or 20 times lower than him in terms of talent, but he sings a bhajan Prashanti and you still like it.
Exactly.
There is something else to
something
it.
Else to it. Something more than what we usually perceive.
Yes. Amazing. Finally, you know, from your own experience of singing in front of Bhagwan and always trying to see how you can offer it better, what are the different things that you would like to share to help young singers or young talents and who want to offer their music to God?
This is one very good tip that I got from one of my senior singers. He said that if you want to sing a bhajan in front of Swami, practice every line multiple number of times. See that whether, you know, what happens is when you're singing just on the spot, you kind of focus more on what to sing, how to sing. So he said, just get it in your system. When you're singing a particular bhajan, it should just happen that you close your eyes. When you go into that mode, you don't have to think about the next line.
Yes.
You don't have to think about what variation to give, what turning to give. So he just said, practice every line like 50 times before you actually sing the bhajan. So in the process, what happens is when you know you want to do X, but you're doing X minus 2. Okay. By repeated practice, that X minus 2, that gap kind of tends to get bridged.
Yes.
And you can bring it to X.
Yes.
No, it can tend to X.
Yes, that's, at least. Yes. Wonderful. I think that is the lesson that Swami gave you first in Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
Practice. And you do practice and rest, I'll take care.
Yes.
You know, even if it is not perfect.
Yes. And though I would say many times we, you know, what happens is we may not find time to sit with a proper harmonium or a Shruti box and practice. But even if you, you know, as you're walking,
yes,
you know, as just sing it out. And
you can practice it anywhere.
Yes, anywhere. It's not necessary that you need to have a device or something, you know, where you can sit. And of course, you need that as well, because yes, unless it's totally in tune and, you know, beat-wise it's proper, it won't, you know, gel. But those are the basics, of course. I'm just talking about, you know, over and above that, how can you beautify, how can you perfect the song, per se.
If you're continuously thinking about it, even as you're walking, even as you're doing other things,
You
will subconsciously, one thing is it'll just get into you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never ever have to think about the lyrics. And then once it becomes so much part of you, it comes out very effortlessly.
Yes.
And of course, in these days, there are so many, technology has made it easier. You have so many apps, etc. on your phone. And there's a
I do that pretty often even now, because after a stressful day, what, you know, kind of relaxes me is one bhajan.
Okay.
Just go play a particular scale and just sing your heart out.
One bhajan.
And you feel so light.
Absolute stress reliever.
Absolute stress reliever.
Fantastic. You just offer everything to God and just be yourself. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Pratim. Saram.
Pleasure.
So that was Pratim Banerjee, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who at the time of recording this conversation in June 2013 was moving to United Kingdom on an assignment to work in Tata Steel. He incidentally got selected for TAS, that is the Tata Administrative Service, which is the Tata Group's premier leadership program to groom future managers for their group companies. So with this, we've come to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, please share your feedback or suggestions by writing to listener at www.radiotehran.org. The sound engineers for this program are Sunil, Abhishek, and the background music was done by another alumnus from Chennai, P.S. Ramakrishnan. With grateful hearts, we place this humble offering at the lotus feet of our beloved Master, Bhagwan Baba.
So it's time to conclude this segment of Thursday Live from the studios of Radio Sai. I'm Team Radio Sai's Vishu, and my colleagues Prem and Sai Prakash are waiting to take over for our next segment, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, the program based on Bhagwan's discourses. And I will be back after this program at 8:35 for yet another episode of our series, Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. And today we're going to listen to the second part of the panel discussion with four teachers of Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Prashanthi Nilayam. And we're going to talk about how Bhagwan designed the school as a beautiful tailor-made gurukula for the modern times, way back in the early 80s, 30 years ago, and how this wonderful experiment has yielded such beautiful fruits over these years. You are going to hear very enriching and really very heartening stories of students from those who have spent all their life taking care and molding these young minds. So that's coming up 1 hour from now. For the present, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam with Prem and Sai Prakash. Thank you so much, and Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam.